The Two Wheel Power Hour is brought to you by Warren Harley Davidson, the area's best selection of Harleys, by Matthias BMW Cycles in New Philadelphia, Ohio, the American Motorcyclist Association, protecting your right to ride, by Yamaha of Warren, the area's exclusive Yamaha dealer in Champion, Roman Cycle Shop, new and pre-owned BMWs, Mahoning Avenue in Austintown, Andrew Cycles, Route 62 in Salem, the area's ATV and motorcycle superstore, Leonard's Truck and Trailer, the largest selection of trailers in the nation, North Jackson, Ohio, Youngstown Harley-Davidson Buell of Canfield, on Route 224 in Canfield, and by Street Track and Trail, Conneaut Lake, Pennsylvania. Now, here's your host, Larry Ward, on 570 WKBN.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Mac Daddy of Motorcycle Shows. It's the Two Wheel Power Hour right here on 570 WKBN. Joining Larry Ward, the Beadmaster, as they said during Mardi Gras, the Beadmaster Larry. Joining me in the studio is
Roy
Bubba.
Dyckman. You wanted my real name
your surname?
Yeah. My surname, Roy Dyckman here, touring and travel.
And, of course, on my right-hand side, as we go left to right on the radio
dial. Oh, boy.
Is?
Professor Bill.
Professor Bill. Hey, we have a terrific show lined up for you tonight. In our first segment coming up is a guy named Walter who took a trip. Well, not just any trip, but took a trip from somewheres in Canada to somewheres into Alaska. Now, if you're on a Goldwing or a Beamer or a Big Harley, that might not be so bad, and it's going to take you a little while to get from one end to the other end. But we went out and did it again. We found another guy who rode a moped from somewhere like Toronto all the way to somewhere like Prudhoe Bay. It took him like 9 months and a day or something. And you know what? You just got to wait to hear this guy's story. It's absolutely awesome. So stay tuned and find out. Also, hey, I see Dyckman. He's parked his bike and he's over behind the microphone. What's your topic tonight there, Mr. Dyckman?
Well, I want to talk about planning the trip to Daytona Bike Week. And I want to talk about some great racers of the past, some American racers.
All right, and as you know, coming up in the next two shows, not this week, but starting the next 2 weeks, we're going to do, like we always do, our Daytona do's and don'ts. And combining with that, we may have Dick Klamfoth on. And Dick, if you know anything about the Daytona 200 Monument that we all kind of chipped in, and that he's at it again, and he's getting ready for phase two, so we want to talk about that. Rounding out the bottom of the hour...
he got a chuckle
Bill
out of that
English.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys got that.
I
you're a hard
know.
Crew. Hard crew, please. All right, Professor Bill, what are you going to be talking
about?
Well,
while you're rounding out the newsletter here, I will be talking about road safety with audits and motorcycle crashes caused by the road factors, single vehicle accidents, road designs, and so on, who to contact, and so on, about safer roads and their construction.
That's absolutely awesome. And let's throw a quick little plug in here. Bill is heading up the committee that is going to bring you one of the finest big weekends locally that's ever come down the pike, and that's going to be the bike weekends at the Steel Valley Nationals coming up Memorial Day weekend.
27th, 28th, 29th, and we've got cars and bikes, and you can't get no better.
No, and I'll tell you what, we're going to keep telling you a little bit about this as we get closer. All during the month of April and May, you're going to hear about it, have interviews. We're going to have guest people in. And I'll tell you what, it is the place to be. If you already don't have plans to go out of state for Memorial Day, don't. Because if you're a biker, this is the weekend just made for you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. So coming up in our first segment, Walter Mama, who is the moped motorcyclist, and his journey, which I would think is almost like around the world on a moped, going from one end of Canada to Alaska. We'll be with Walter right after this. You're listening to the Two Wheel Power Hour right here on 570 WKBN.
If you're in the market for a new Harley-Davidson motorcycle, but you're waiting for the best deal possible, your wait is over.
But it won't last much longer.
It's the Winter Freeze Special going on now through February 28th. Only at Warren Harley-Davidson. When you purchase a new untitled in-stock Harley-Davidson motorcycle and take delivery before February 28th,
Warren Harley-Davidson will freeze prep charges. Freeze freight charges.
The But that's not all. We'll throw in a $750 gift card and a family rewards card. Hey, Hog members, listen up. National Hog members that purchase and take delivery of an eligible Harley-Davidson motorcycle through February 28th will receive $1,000.
That's right.
I said $1,000 towards the purchase of in-stock genuine Harley-Davidson motor parts and accessories.
It's the Winter Freeze Special.
Going on now through February 28th. Only at Warren Harley-Davidson, 2102 Elm Road in Cortland. 330-395-4700.
Welcome to the Warren Harley-Davidson family.
Come explore, learn, and have some fun at the National Packard Museum next to the Packard Music Hall in Warren. Now through April, don't miss the Motorcycle Milestones of the 20th Century exhibit, featuring a collection of motorcycles representing 10 decades of motorcycle history, styling, and innovation. Come to the National Packard Museum's Motorcycle Milestones of the 20th Century exhibit. Open now through April. Proudly supported by the Trumbull County Convention and Visitors Bureau, Warren Harley-Davidson, and Greaves Insurance.
Hey, it's Valentine's Day, and Checky, I want to just tell you one thing, buddy. Love stinks.
Shame on you.
You should have heard my man, Check, going off with Ron and Casey. Yeah, Roy come in here all fired up, John. Man, that look on Love, boy.
Well, they had a problem, Larry, with, they said they didn't know whether the women, you know, they said, is the woman satisfied or not? And they said, oh, yes, most of them are. But yet, if you look at the divorces, all the women are running down there getting
them. What's that website we're going to find the answers on this to?
It would be GodSaidManSaid.com.
There you go.
He's got it all.
You see the information you get on this show, Bill?
Oh, I'm telling you.
Bill's just sitting back going, wow, I'm glad to be a part of this.
We're covered.
Speaking about glad to be a part of it, and guys, I want you to join in. We're going to bring up Walter Muma. Walter, are you with us?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Hey, Walter, let me get that. Pronounce that last name for me.
It's Muma.
Muma. Ma. Yeah. Now, you know what? I've kind of really beat your name up all over the place, and I'm not real sure that I got the exact starting and ending points. So let's start this interview with telling our listeners what exactly you did. I mean, just I got on a moped and I went from here to there.
Yeah, in 1978, I spent 3 months. I started at Toronto, Ontario, and drove up through across Canada, up the Alaska Highway, through the Yukon, up to Fairbanks, Alaska. And then went back up into the Yukon and up the Dempster Highway, which had just been completed, up to Inuvik, which is on the Mackenzie River Delta. And then I went back home.
Well, you know, we have a couple of our buddies that are planning an Alaska trip, and they're going to be banging out to Prudhoe Bay. And I looked at a map today, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And these guys are, like, planning for months. And they got big BMWs, lots of money, lots of skills, lots of resources. And here you are banging out on a little 49.5cc moped. So I got to ask you a couple questions.
Yep.
First of all, do you have any papers to prove that you're sane? We need documentation to certify that. All right, Walter, how did you decide to go about it? You know, we had Avery Bloom on maybe a month or so ago. And, of course, I belong to the Moped Army, Moped Association, as well as a bunch of BMW and riders clubs and that. And so I caught his story, and we had him on, and he was talking about going from New York to Colorado. And I'm thinking, oh, that was – and then I started reading about yours and all the pictures and that. So I said, how did you decide – to do this? I mean, how, why, you know?
Well, the summer before that, I had spent 3 months down in the eastern part of Canada on a moped. And when I was 17, I hitchhiked up to Alaska and back. And I've always been attracted to the wild places of Canada. So I thought, I really like traveling by moped, so why not go up there? And the reason I like traveling by moped is you move slowly, like a sort of at the pace of a bicycle, a very fast bicycle, actually, but without all the tremendous effort involved.
Now, Walter, let me ask you, and this is just something that I noticed from watching the Animal Channel, you know, birds, ducks, geese, grizzly bears. Do you have any idea how fast a grizzly bear can run? I'm just asking.
Well, no, I don't know.
Do you think it would be faster than a 49.5cc worn-out moped with a guy loaded up on it?
Well, I could get up to maximum speed of about 40 miles an hour.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Man, that's hauling.
He can outrun a bear then.
Yeah. He could just outrun him.
Yeah.
Not by much.
Unless you hit one little bump and blip the throttle once, or and then there's a big tumble.
Or a little grade.
Yeah, it was uphill a little bit. He'd catch him.
All right, so you decided that after hitchhiking, being out there a couple times, hey, this is a wondrous thing. You know what? I'm not going to thumb my way through, so I'm going to power my way through. Tell me about why moped.
Well, again, mainly because it moves at a slow pace like a bicycle. It's kind of hard to hitchhike on really remote roads, and you don't get a choice of where to stop very much. So with a moped, you can come and go as you please, exactly wherever you wanted to.
Now, for some of our younger listeners that maybe didn't grow up in the early 70s, a moped is a motorized bicycle for all practical purposes. It's got to be under 50 cc's, and it has to have pedals. Now, the pedals can actually propel you forward, but if you push the pedal backwards, it's sort of like a coaster brake, only it engages the Kickstarter mechanism, and it actually, you kick the bike, and that's how you start it up. So just to clarify for everybody what this thing looks like, it's got little 17-inch tires. They're 250 by 17, so basically bicycle tires, a little bit heavier duty construction. Now, what kind of a moped? Go through your choice of, you know, did somebody give it to you, or this is one I decided, or I did this because it had so many design features that made it better?
Well, this was actually my second moped. It was a Mobilette. The first one I had, it wore out. It had 22,500 miles on it.
I can't imagine it's only 22,000.
Okay, so this one in 1978, this is a pretty much a lower mileage, a Mobilette.
Yeah, I bought it new for the trip.
So we can just refer to it as the Moby?
Sure.
The big Moby.
Yeah, I left the old one at home. I disassembled it completely and left it at home for spare parts.
So in other words, when you got in trouble, you could somehow, back in 78, there were no cell phones. So you either had to learn how to send smoke signals or catch a ship going by, right?
Yeah. Well, I did get stuck in a tiny little town in northern Alberta for about 3 days trying to get a tire.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So now you'd call home, you'd tell them, hey, I got a broken whatever, this is where to find it, and then they'd send it to you?
Yep.
You're kidding. Yep. Oh, my God.
Good relay system. That sounds neat.
Yeah. Well, hey, you got a lot of courage, man.
It's great to be young.
I mean, I think
he outsmarted you, Larry. You had to call a trailer.
Sorry?
Yeah, when you broke down, you had to call a trailer.
What resources did you need, and how long did it take you, to go get these resources? I mean, I got a moped. Now, first of all, is this something you bought, or did a dealer give it to you for a ride?
Well, I tried to get one off of them as promo, but they wouldn't, so I had to buy it.
Isn't that awful?
They did help me out with specialized tools. There's a special tool to set the timing on it.
Well, you know what the problem is, Walter. They're afraid you're going to get killed and get negative publicity, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, so you had some specialized tools. Okay, so you figured that part of it out.
Yeah, and I'd been riding mopeds since 75, so 3 years of experience of fixing them and riding them. Because you got to be totally self-sufficient to go way up there on a moped.
Now, is this thing you got to mix gas and oil? There's no oil injection?
Right. Oh. Yeah, it's a two-stroke engine.
Oh, what a pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the result of that was the ignition, the spark plug, kept bridging with carbon.
Yeah, fouling out.
Yeah, you got to nick that.
Decarbonize the engine and the exhaust and so on. It caused me a lot of hassle.
Oh, yeah. All right, now, you're taking something teeny-weeny, and you're going a long, long ways that big bikes do it. What kind of mapping and planning did you do so that you could get yourself out there and not get killed, wiped out, beat up, whatever?
There's only one road.
As far as planning, like what to take, what not to take, I mean, how to pack the bike, you know.
I drew on my experience from past years of traveling by moped and just traveling in general. I love traveling. And also, I tended to live very simply when I'm on the road, so I didn't take much extra stuff. And for maps and planning, I just used the provincial road maps, and I tended to take back roads wherever possible because there's less traffic.
Now, on your trip, how many miles did you actually traverse?
I traveled 11,500 miles.
on the same moped.
Yep. It took me 3 months.
Now, let me ask you, did you have a Russell Daylong seat on that thing?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was being cute. Would you have anything that kind of cushioned your butt there?
Oh. No, just the seat.
Wow.
The regular seat.
Man, oh, man.
Spring-loaded seat, so it wasn't too bad.
All right, Walter, I want you to think about this, and then we're going to step aside and take a break and let you think about it and come back. Okay. I'd like you to think about some of the more unique things, people, places that you saw or visited or come in contact with, and I'd like you to share them with our audience when we come back. This is Larry Ward for the Two Wheel Power Hour right here on 570 WKBN.
Mathias BMW Cycle Sales wants you to enjoy riding on a new BMW motorcycle from Mathias BMW Cycle Sales in New Philadelphia. During the month of January, BMW is offering sales incentives and special financing to qualified buyers towards the purchase of your new BMW motorcycle. Right selected BMW models qualify for 0.9% financing, and BMW will make your first five payments. Beamers, Mathias BMW Cycle Sales in New Philadelphia also has a great selection of riding apparel. Technique boots and Nolan helmets, Marcy tank bags and tail packs, and the roll-in and lock stands. Two-Wheel Power Hour listener get a 20% discount on BMW accessories by simply mentioning you heard this ad on the Motorcycle Show. Mathias BMW Cycle Sales, 330-308-8868. That's 330-308-8868. Call them today and be on the BMW motorcycle of your choice tomorrow. The 2005 K1200 RS in stock for immediate delivery.
Serious about dirt? So is Yamaha. And now's the perfect time to drive a serious bargain, because for a limited time, you can get any new Yamaha motorcycle or ATV for as low as $39 a month for 24 months. Plus, get up to $200 cash back on select models, off-road or on, two wheels or four. At Yamaha of Warren, we're offering serious savings, special financing, plus cash back. But this offer ends soon, so get the Yamaha of Warren today. Yamaha of Warren, Mahoning Avenue in Warren, just off the Route 82 bypass. Finance offer good through 5/31/05 on any new 2005 or new prior year Yamaha motorcycle, ATV, or scooter, excluding FJR and Rhino models. On the Yamaha card, subject to credit approval. Reduced rate as low as 4.9% APR and $39 monthly payment. Good for 24 months if account is kept current. Maximum amount financed, $8,000. Thereafter, the standard rate of up to 21.99% APR will apply, and minimum monthly payments will be required. Default rate, 24.99%. Minimum finance charge, $1. See dealer for details and age recommendations. Yamaha recommends an approved training course. Call 1-800-887-2887. Dealer participation may vary.
Many people want to know, who are you, Roy?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Of course you're not. Before, you were in the Marine Corps when that was going on,
oh,
Roy.
Yeah, it was before my time.
You were popping that Budweiser and smoking that tobacco.
Hey, that was Olympia, and those were warm, rusted cans.
Bill, where were you when this was going
K on? K-rations.
There you go. All righty, you're back on 570 WKBN's Two Wheel Power Hour. And we are back with Walter Muma. Walter, you with me?
Hi there.
How you doing? I got it right?
Yep. That's
cool.
Good, thanks.
All right. Now, when we last left off, you traversed 11,500 total miles. And I asked you about just a couple of the more unique things that you saw, people that you saw, and any suggestions or recommendations that you may have for some of our listeners, because we got a couple of our friends that are going to be heading up to Alaska and all the way to Prudhoe Bay. So, you know, go ahead and take it from there.
Well, probably the most unique sort of humorous thing I saw probably isn't there anymore. There's a tiny little town on the Alaska Highway called Johnson's Crossing. It's really just a gas station. And back then, their washroom was actually an outhouse. This outhouse was rather unusual in that it had six seats. I don't know what you did when somebody else wanted to come in, but that was rather interesting.
I've seen two holers before, but never six.
Yeah. Six. Hey, you've never heard of a six way?
No.
Six pack.
There you go, Billy. All right. So that's an unusual. How about some of the people you've come in contact during your journey?
Yeah, up north, people were really friendly. I got invited to stay at quite a number of places, especially up in the Mackenzie River Delta, which is, you know, east of the Prudhoe Bay in Canada. That was really nice.
You know, we were laughing about that dumpster road. There's also, there's dumpster, and what's the other road?
The Dalton Highway.
Dumpster and the Dalton.
Yeah, that Dalton is no good because they have the big rocks.
You know how many bikes get busted up going up towards Prudhoe Bay?
Yeah,
and you made it on that little mobilette.
Well, the Dempster Highway had just been finished a matter of days before I rode on it, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty rough. I had a number of flat tires on it.
That's what I hear. They have that, what's that chips?
No, it's not tar and chip.
Silica chips like stuff on it.
It's huge rocks that are the problem.
Okay, any suggestions that you may have for some of our listeners that are thinking about making a trip like this towards Alaska?
I would be as self-sufficient as possible.
Okay.
Not rely on anybody else. Know your bike really well so you can fix, you know, the easy things that are to fix and take spare parts that might break on you.
Speaking of that, now, there are some inherent characteristics or common failings of a mobilette. What were some of the things that you found out that you didn't know that, that really turned you in from Joe Average to a pretty doggone good mechanic?
Well, there's a one design flaw in a mobilette, and that has to do with the interaction between the pedals and the chain.
Okay.
A tiny little hook that hooks into a sprocket there.
All right.
It's made out of aluminum. And if you don't care for that part of the bike really, really diligently, it eventually fails, and then you're stuck.
No pedal, huh?
Yeah, you have to pedal. You can't pedal, it's too heavy, but yeah, you're sort of stuck pedaling.
Now, what do you think the weight limit on, what was the weight with your bike packed?
Oh, geez, I'm not sure. Probably had about maybe 20, 30 pounds of stuff, including groceries. Like, I always ate out of grocery stores, never ate in restaurants.
Now, when you talk about packing that, did you have your own tent,
yep.
Sleeping bag, all you carried all that?
Yep, tent, sleeping bag, one change of clothes, and all my repair stuff. I made my own saddlebags for it.
Is that right?
Put them on the back, had the tent and stuff on the front, had a spare gas can, of course.
Now, speaking of that, I was on your website, and you must have taken one, you made Kodak happy, famous, put all their kids through college, because your website is absolutely flawless. Now, you're currently long removed from 1978, and what's your life's work right now?
Right now I'm in computers.
Okay. And you had the way your website is kind of laid out, you're very much involved with the outdoors. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can find your website?
The website's located at wmuma.com. That's wmuma.com. And please feel free to visit.
All right. And then it gives a whole chronological order of your trip and what you did and the trials and tribulations and so on. What do you think it cost you in terms of course, gasoline in 78 was a lot cheaper than it is in 2005. But do you have an idea how many gallons you used and what you think that cost you?
The moped got a roughly 150 miles per gallon U.S. And actually, it's on my website. I spent $100 Canadian on gas for the whole trip.
Canadian, huh?
So that's about 112 miles per dollar Canadian.
Wow.
That's fantastic. We won't see any of that today.
And I spent $280 Canadian on food for the whole trip.
You're kidding.
For 3 months.
See, almost.
Yeah.
And you cook, you have your own cheap little Primus heater or something?
No, I always cooked on campfires. Yeah,
wow.
Just camped on the side of the
lots
road,
of wood,
wherever
yeah.
I could find a place.
Did you run into any bikers up there?
Yeah, I met lots of bikers, and they were always fascinated by me, and they always stopped to talk. It was really interesting.
That's good.
Well, did they approach you cautiously at first?
No, Walter. They were just really interested. One guy is interested. Back then, the Alaska Highway was unpaved the entire length up to Alaska.
That's what I was going to ask, if it was all paved. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
And I met one guy who would added training wheels to the back of his motorcycle so he wouldn't take a spill.
No
kidding.
He had
shock absorbers and everything on them. It's kind of interesting.
That is kind of a cool thing.
But we do have that out now. That's popular now.
Yeah, they're called Gold Wings.
No. Oh. BMW starter bikes.
Boy, I'm really, Walter, I'm on.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
on
rolling. You're going to roll all right. But anyway, I think the Alcan was not paved until the late 80s,
yeah.
If I remember right. I come down it also when it was unpaved.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get flat tires?
Oh, they road graded all the time to keep it smooth, and then they roll up the big boulders. It was a mess.
That's what I hear. You got to watch out for rocks, not only the ones you hit, but the ones the cars hit and throw up and smash your bike and your helmet and all that. Now, one last question. Is it now that, in just 3 years, you'd have your 30th anniversary, have you ever thought about doing it again?
I've thought about it, but I don't think I will.
How about on a motorcycle?
I always loved motorcycles, but I never seemed to have gotten around to getting one. You know, it's just one of those things. Life takes me in different directions, and
you know, this
having
is
having cars instead.
It's absolutely odd and crazy that you would make an arduous journey, fraught with peril, on probably the most miniaturized little doodad that you could have, and actually go up and do that, span 11,500 miles, and then just walk away and never get on a moped or a bike or anything.
I guess I had done it all. I'd been to every province of both territories of Canada.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I guess I've been to the northernmost, easternmost, and westernmost points of Canada by moped. So I figured, well, okay, I've done it all. Let's do something else now.
I think it's time for you to go to Mexico.
Yeah, Walter, there you go, man. Viva. All righty. Walter, I want to thank you for being our guest. And normally we're a motorcycle-only kind of thing, but every once in a while we like to project ourselves out, and we always embrace, you know, everybody that's on two wheels, motorized two wheels, and your story was just too good to pass up. That is Walter Muma, and he went from Toronto to Fairbanks, Alaska, spanning 11,500 miles on a little under 50cc Mobilette moped. Walter, I want to thank you very much. And don't forget, you can catch his website at wmuma.com. Walter, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.